If you are talking about it, he's talking about it. And if he's talking about it, it's worth talking about. Richard Dixon on Birmingham's Real Talk. Talk 99.5.
Hey, hey, hi. Yeah, it's me, Richard Dixon. Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Putting on a little radio show here. It's all part of the fun. Pardon me. That's my lungs being filled up with gunk by the Rona, which I probably have. We'll find out for sure. I'm getting tested this afternoon. Trying to muddle through this show anyway, with great help from you, of course, the listener. Later, Chuck Davis is going to join us. He is my attorney. We'll talk to him about a number of issues, including personal injury cases and different ways to get out of debt, negotiate debt, cool stuff there, and others. And then Mark Spud Friedman joins us as well, coming up between 2 and 3, and I'm just going to let him carry the show at that point and drag me along with it because, you know, 2 hours of this is about it. This nonsense is about all I can take. 2 hours of this nonsense is about all anyone should have to take, David. That's my opinion on the subject, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, I stay here for three just to show you.
That's right. That's the whole reason that we're here. We're just like, oh, 2 hours is enough? Well, then let's overkill. Let's go with an extra one.
Overkill is underrated. Come on.
That's our thing. It's what we do, baby. Mr. Bugs is my, and I have to call them, and I have to go, yeah, don't come. Because they're supposed to be coming on Wednesday of next week. And I have to call them and say, yeah, this you don't want to be in the Rona house. It's not a good idea. You're not going to want this. Let's reschedule, shall we? You reschedule your entire life. But I do love these guys. I'm sure just putting them off for a week is not going to make a big difference in my world since, you know, they do such a great job anyway. I have them come by every single month. That's Mr. Bugs. They could come every 2 months or 3 months, but I like them every month just to make sure that my house stays insect-free, especially during these times of year when it's cold and it's wet outside. The bugs don't want to be there. They want to be inside with the food and the TV. That's who they are. That's how they roll. Mr. Bugs is in the business of keeping them out there, and I love that. They do that through a variety of different barriers they can put up, and then, of course, killing the ones on the inside just to teach the others a lesson. 900-3433. They do rodents as well and can greenify your lawn. Call now to get on the get on the stick with pre-emergent when it comes to your lawn. That's 900-3433, statewide as well, mrbuggs.com, mrbugs.com. They know what bugs you. How about we, before we go back to the phones, I want to touch on this a little bit because I promised I would. This would be the executive orders that Joe Biden signed. I'm going to give you the rundown of these things, okay? And you tell me just exactly where the specifics are. Ensuring a data-driven response to COVID-19 and future high-consequence public health threats. Oh, you think our response should be driven by data? Yeah, because I think, what was the Trump administration handling it? Alphabetically, I think, is how they were doing it. Is that right? Obviously, it's data-driven. Everybody knows it's data-driven. We all want it to be data-driven, and anybody who's worth their salt as a leader would make it data-driven. As did the Trump administration, you slapping a name on it and signing an executive order going, this is what we're doing from now on, means exactly nothing. Promoting COVID-19 safety in domestic and international travel. We kind of already have that, right? This is another thing that's already going on and Joe Biden's coming in. This is a perfect case of there's a parade and Joe's going to leap in front of it and act like he, it formed behind him. Establishing the National Pandemic Testing Board and ensuring a sustainable public health workforce for COVID-19 and other biological threats. Do we not have enough people actually working in the field? And if so, if we don't, is now the time to look for them? Improving and expanding access to care and treatment of COVID-19. No, we don't want to improve the care. Why would we want to do that? Of course, we're trying to constantly improve the care and have made great strides since the first cases. That's why the death rate per case number has fallen exponentially because we're finally, figuring out, hey, here's how this thing works and here's how to treat it. We got a bunch more treatments. So he's signing an executive order to improve And expand access to care and treatment. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Extend federal support to governors' use of National Guard in response to COVID-19. But not riots. We're not doing that. Supporting the reopening and continuing operation of schools and early childhood education providers. This is the guy who wants to close everything down, and he's now saying, but the schools should be open. Okay. A sustainable public health supply chain, protecting worker health and safety, ensuring an equitable pandemic response. It's a bunch of crap, basically, is what it comes down to. A bunch of generic things that sound good that he's signed that have been going on, you know, since the start of this pandemic. And he's just sticking his name on them to act like he's, you know, the king of Turd Mountain here. He's figured it all out. Oh, well, here's what we need to do. It's been done, Joe. It's being done. It's been being done since this thing started. You signing a bunch of executive orders is basically nothing but a tree killer. That's what you've done here. You've killed a bunch of trees. Good job. Greta Van Thunberg is upset with you. Mike is in Fairfield, on the Birmingham Broker phone line with an answer to the big stupid question of the day. What's up?
Okay, before I get to the big stupid question, I hope everything works out for you here, buddy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, how about, I don't know, I haven't listened all day. How about I Shot the Sheriff by Eric Clapton?
It's been said. I'm sorry. You're too late with that, and we, you know, now we have to send someone to your home and take your cat. There's nothing
okay,
we can
buddy.
Do about it. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the call. It's okay if somebody else said it. Nobody cares. It's fine. Andrew is on a cell phone. Andrew, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Before I get to the big stupid question, what you are describing with Biden is nothing but the Statue of the Thinker by Rodin. All he's doing is just sitting there and he's thinking. Nothing's going to happen, but he's thinking about it.
Well, you know, the fact that you think Joe Biden is thinking is cute, because I don't think he can. I think somebody else has written these things for him and put them on his desk and said, "Sign these, Mr. President."
Yeah, I know. I'm pushing it. I'm getting the benefit of a little bit of a doubt, but anyhow. But no, the answer to your question, to the stupid question, is how about "I Don't Like Mondays" by the Boomtown Rats?
Oh yes, definitely had some disaster there. What a weird situation
and
with a woman who was.
I was living in San Diego when that happened.
Is that right?
I went to high school about three blocks away from where that was going on.
Now, how many died that day? I thought she only killed like one or two, but she injured a lot of people, didn't she?
I think there was. I think it was double digits, but don't get me wrong. But it was, if you actually listen to the song, boy, it is a wicked telling of what happened.
It's one of those that I'm learning on the piano right now. It's not as difficult to play as it looks, but it's real impressive when you play it. People are like, "Ooh, he's good." Yeah, not really. There's a couple of cool little tricks that are involved in playing it that are very impressive looking. So once I get it down, I'll probably make a video. I love it, Andrew. Thank you for the call, man.
She killed two and injured nine.
That's what I thought. I thought she had only killed like two people. She shot at a schoolyard from across the street with, I think, a rifle.
A Ruger 10/22 semi-automatic 22 caliber rifle.
She was disturbed when she was asked why she did it. Her response was, "I don't like Mondays." Hence the Boomtown Rats song, "I Don't Like Mondays." Kiefer is in Talladega. Kiefer, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Big stupid question today. How are you doing, Richard?
I am exquisite as always.
Okay, 1967, the Bee Gees. Not many people remember this one, but
New York mining disaster. Is that it?
Yes, yes.
Good one. Yeah, that's another one of those depressing songs, and it was a good song. I don't think it was ever appreciated as much as it probably should have been, but it was about a true story with a bunch of miners trapped under the ground. Which was in New York, and it was in the 1920s, wasn't it?
Something like that.
That
era in my life's a little foggy.
Yeah, you and me both, brother. I was four, that's why. Thank you for the call, Kiefer. It's foggy because I was, you know, my mind was taken up by Sesame Street. Dave is in Woodstock. Dave, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind, man?
Talking about Joe Biden, some of his executive orders and appointments and all that. It's like Limbaugh used to say back when the Clintons were president, symbolism over substance.
Oh, yeah. That's largely what he's engaging in, and Democrats have been engaging in it forever. You know, we need to be concerned with the sex and the sexual proclivity and the color of all of the people that we're putting in office. Really? You know, because some people are interested in just getting the best people for the job, and we don't care what color or sex they are. Strange, but there you have it. Anyway, what else you got, man?
I could say, you know, he's an idiot, but he's a Puerto Rican transgender, so we got to hire him, you know.
That's right. Anyway. Well, and that's how do you think Kamala Harris got the job, dude?
Big stupid question of the day. Here's one I haven't heard mentioned yet. I Want My Baby Back by Jimmy Cross.
Is that the one that talks about the baby back ribs? I want my baby.
No. This is he's talking about his baby died or something, and the whole time he's sitting there talking about, and there was my baby, and there was my baby, and the whole time you hear something in the background, what he's doing, he's digging her up. And then at the end of the song, you know, you hear the coffin open and close, and you hear it muffled, and he's saying, I want my baby back. No.
This sounds awful. I don't ever want to hear this song.
It is. It's from about mid-60s.
Yikes. We had serious problems in the mid-60s. We had so many of these songs come from that time. Obviously, we are very unhealthy people.
It was more of a parody of the teenage tragedy songs.
Yeah. Oh, there were plenty of teenage tragedy songs going on at the time, too.
Oh, yeah. Spud would know what I'm talking about. I'm sure he might bring it up.
He probably would. Hey, I got to run, man. Thank you for the call, Dave. I appreciate it. A quick break. We will hurry back. Richard Dixon, Talk995, talk995.com.
He was on his way home from Candletop. Been 2 weeks gone, and he thought he'd stop at Webb's and have him a drink before he went home to her. Andy Wolo said hello, and he said, hi, what's doing, whoa? Said, sit down, I've got some bad news, it's gonna hurt. Said, I'm your best friend, and you know that's right, but your young bride ain't home tonight. Since you've been gone, she's been seeing that Amos boy, Seth. Got mad and he saw red, and Andy said, boy, don't you lose your head, 'cause to tell you the truth, I've been with her myself. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia.
A song that was originally offered to Cher, and she turned it down.
Well, don't trust your soul, an old backwoods southern lawyer.
They cast about for a minute looking for somebody else they thought could do it justice and finally decided on Vicki Lawrence from The Carol Burnett Show. You know, there's a reason why you have no other Vicki Lawrence songs or albums or anything. She never really got into that area. This was the one. This was it. And it was, of course, a massive hit. Turned into a movie starring Christy McNichol, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. It was also covered by Reba McEntire, as I recall.
You are correct, sir.
Pretty good song. 117, Talk995, Talk995.com. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Parrot Structural Services is a foundation repair company that specializes in fixing whatever happens to be ailing you at any given time. What are you dealing with? Are you sinking? Are you cracking? Are you crumbling? Well, they're the guys that you want to talk to because they got this cool helical pier system that they drive down until it hits the bedrock, and then they put your foundation on top of it, assuring that it stays where it's supposed to stay. That's why they're able to offer that guarantee, you know. All their work comes with a warranty. They also do slab jacking and grout pumping and soil stabilization and wall tiebacks and all of this. But the helical pier is the bread and butter because it's the thing that really works the best for a traditional foundation. Slabs need something else. Anyway, they got cool devices that allow them to see through your slab and see where the, you know, the plumbing is and the conduit, electrical conduit. There's so many great toys that they have, and they know how to use them all. That's what Parrot SS is all about. Parrot Structural Services, 6682626. Licensed, bonded, insured, E-Verify compliant. That is Parrot Structural Services, ParrotSS.com. Back to the phones we go quickly. Corey is on 280. Corey, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind?
I got a couple of answers to the big stupid question of the day.
Hit me, man.
I'm going to go with Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
War Pigs.
Nice.
And Last Kiss.
Last Kiss. That, yeah, that was, in fact, the song was actually recorded by J. Wayne, whatever the name was that I mentioned earlier. J. Frank Wilson. That's the guy who actually did it. It may have been written by Wayne Cochran, but it was J. Frank Wilson who actually recorded it, he and his band, and they're the ones who had the hit with it. Beautiful, Corey. Elias is up next on a cell phone. Elias, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Hey, not much, Richard. Two quick answers. Number one is Powderfinger, Neil Young.
Okay.
And the second, I'm not sure if it's a song or like an instrumental, but Paul Hardcastle, 19.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that still qualifies as a song. That was the average age of the Vietnam vet was 19, the Vietnam soldier. Yeah. No, 19.
Would you happen to know what the song Powderfinger is about? I think I know, but that's like a big mystery.
I do not, but then again, I gave up trying to figure out what Neil Young songs are about a long time ago. You know, you're just a happier person. You're just a happier person. Thank you, Elias. Got to run, man. Let's talk to Bob in Deutschland über alles. Bob, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Sir, dear Richard, say, buddy, I have two. I'll name one because somebody else might have the other one. But Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde shot the city sheriff.
Or is it the end of the movie? Yeah. They got their car got shot up a few times.
I saw that car. I saw that car at the Alcatraz East, which is in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and they've got Bonnie and Clyde's car. They've got Ted Bundy's VW. They've got OJ's white Bronco. Yeah. I kid you not.
I bet you saw a lot of bullet holes in that car, huh, buddy?
There's a ton of bullet holes in that car. It's ridiculous. They originally had taken it apart, and so they put it back together and restored it as best they could. But there were they got the original body, the basic body frame of it. So it's it's pretty cool. I mean,
Richard,
a true crime friend,
Lord Jesus will keep his healing hand on you and give you comfort and peace, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I need all the help I can get.
You're welcome, my friend. I love you, brother.
Thank you, Bob. Here is David in Pelham. David, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
How are you doing, Richard? I'm your old bowling partner.
Ah, nice to hear from you, David.
I got two that go way back to my 1980s New Wave days.
Oh, yeah.
The Smiths' Girlfriend in a Coma.
Oh, yeah.
And the Ramones' The KKK Took My Baby Away.
I knew we'd eventually find our way into the weird stuff, and by God, here it is. You're the one who's really breaking it out. That and I Want My Baby Back, the 1965 song that Dave from Woodstock brought up earlier. Beautiful, David. Thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. He and I used to bowl together. He was, of course, significantly better than I. He was kind of the anchor for the team. No, I was the anchor for the team, and that I dragged them down. But we did pretty good, actually. We got into the semifinals, and we won the first round, and then, you know, everything went straight to hell. Pat is in Vestavia. Pat, you're on Talk 99.5 on the Birmingham Broker phone line. What's going on?
Hello, my exquisite darling. How are you?
I am exquisite and your darling. Mm-hmm.
How about Gordon Lightfoot's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald? Has somebody already said that?
Yes, they have, and so you're going to have to come up with something better.
Well, and then the other thing was, I already heard the one guy earlier in your show, and I have to agree with him, DOA. Oh, man.
That is one creepy song. That is one creepy song. Nobody should write a song that creepy, ever. I might, yeah. We're going to find out when I get this test later, and then they'll check on it and get back to me on Sunday with answers. And no one's happy about it, Pat, believe me.
Well, try to stay well, as well as you can.
So, put a condom over your radio in the meantime, just so that you're safe.
Oh, God, now you tell me. Where's the white stuff?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Okay.
Thank you, Pat. Pretty sure you can't catch it over the radio. Pretty sure. What the hell do
Pretty
I know?
Pretty sure.
Joe Biden signed some sort of, executive order on that. I think he said made sure that it couldn't happen. We're going to be chatting with my lawyer, Chuck Davis, coming up in just a moment or two. And he is going to be talking about a number of things. Things that I hope that you are... you're going to want to know about. Trust me. He's a great lawyer. He's my lawyer. No representation is made that the legal services provided are superior to legal services provided by other attorneys. I have to say that. That's the law, right? Back in a flash. First.
Sometimes I think back to when I was younger. Life was so much simpler then. Dad would be up at dawn. He'd be watering the lawn, or maybe going fishing again. Oh, and Mom would be fixing up something in the kitchen, fresh biscuits or hot apple pie. And I'd spend all day long in the basement torturing rats with a hacksaw and pulling the wings off of flies. Those were the good old days. Those were the good old days.
Uh-huh.
The years go by, but the memory stays.
I read an interesting stat a little earlier today, as a matter of fact. The housing market is compressing a little bit. What does that mean? It means that fewer people are putting their houses on the market, which means if you're looking for one, well, they're getting harder to come by. They're also selling faster. What you need is a true professional who can guide you toward the right home for you and help ferret one out and get you into it, kind of as soon as it hits the market. They're becoming fewer and farther between, so having a pro on your side becomes ever more important. That pro should be Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful, 229-1865, 229-1865. When you need to find another place to live, and you know what area of town you want to live in, you know what size house you need, and how much land you want, and so on and so forth, it makes it a whole lot easier. And then you need to be able to, pounce when something comes up. Also, list your home and be able to sell it in a reasonable amount of time and make a good profit off of it as well. She's got all of that down. And now is a good time to get that house on the market because, like I said, they're getting scarce. You're going to get a great price. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful, 229-1865, 229-1865. She's my realtor. She ought to be your realtor. Speaking of people I do business with, on the Birmingham Broker Hotline right now, the one and only Chuck Davis of ChuckDavisLaw.com. Hello, Charles, and how are you today, my friend?
Hello, Richard. I would say happy Thursday, but not very happy Thursday for you today, is it?
I may have the Rona. We'll find out. We'll see how bad things are. And, we'll struggle through it. It's into each life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you're actually holding up pretty well through it. You're doesn't sound as if you're having any pain or having any discomfort at this point.
Well, I've been covering up my pain and discomfort for pretty much my entire life. It's always hurt on the inside, Chuck. Always.
Yeah.
let's talk a little bit about about the law, because there's some stuff I find fascinating that I need some answers to, and maybe other people would be interested in these answers as well. I don't know. And I don't care, because I've got the Rona, so I'm only interested in me now. I'm very selfish at this point. Here's,
I can't blame you.
Imagine, if you will, I get injured somehow. Let's not even talk about how I got injured. It was somebody else's fault. I was at some other place. It was somebody who wasn't doing what they were supposed to do or doing something they weren't supposed to be doing. And I ended up getting injured. And I wouldn't even know, the overwhelming feeling would be, well, somebody should be handling this. So this shouldn't be my health insurance that's covering this. Somebody should be taking care of this, and it's not me. And I wouldn't even know how to go about how do you even contact the people who you think should be, you know, handling the situation. I'm in a grocery store, and I slip and fall, and I injure my knee. Now I've got a bad knee. I have to go see several people about it. Probably have to get an MRI. Am I paying for that, or can I get the grocery people to pay for that? How does all that work?
Well, you know, it's really a good thing that you wouldn't know what to do next or how to handle it, because if you and everyone else out there listening to you knew what to do, I wouldn't have a job. So I need something to do.
An honest lawyer. That's nice to see. So nice. So what? Nice. So I call you, basically, is what it goes. That's what you're telling me. It's just call you.
You need to call me. You need to call your lawyer. You need to find out where you stand to start with. You know, when people call my office, Richard, they're going to talk to me. Some people, sometimes you'll be passed to a paralegal. You may be passed to a secretary. When you call my office, I'm your guy. I'm the guy you're going to talk to.
Straight to Chuck Davis. I like that. That's great.
I'll make an appointment for you. You'll come in, sit down, we'll talk, see what your situation is, see if there's anything I can do. You know, a lot of people struggle with making that first call to call a lawyer, and I get that. I understand that. A lot of people don't know if they really need to call a lawyer, how important that is. I get that. I understand that. Nobody goes out, you know, every day looking to get into litigation or to sue somebody. That's standard. Most people are like that. But on the other hand, you probably didn't go out that day looking for someone else to smash into your car driving to work or wherever you were going, or you probably weren't looking to trip or slip or fall down at someone's business or in a store. So in order to determine, once you something like that happens, you need to talk to a lawyer. You need to find out what the situation is. If you have a case that you might can bring, if you're injured, if you've been damaged, of course you deserve to be compensated. You know, if you're injured, that's what insurance is for. That's what it does.
So what if the grocery store people they offer me a certain amount of money? They go, oh, hey, how about if we just agree to this and make all of this go away? And it's not enough money. It's not really a very good amount of, especially, I mean, MRIs can get expensive. You're dealing with thousands of dollars at some point here. Is there a negotiation period there? Is there what gives? What happens next?
Well, in the first place, it's going to be a rare day when somebody just calls and says, hey, I hear you were injured in our store. Here's a check.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So you need to, there is negotiation. Once you've called a lawyer, once you've contacted, if it's my office, like I said, you'll come in, we'll sit down, and you'll tell me what happened, what's going on. And there's a lot of things that, information that, I'll need to get, a lawyer would need to get to determine what happened and whether or not there was negligence. There are a lot of different type claims that can be brought in different types of injuries, and I'm not going to get into the weeds on that. That can go in a lot of different directions, but there's a lot of different types of claims depending on what your injury is and how it happened, whether it was, as you said, in a store, you slip down, you step in water, you're in a business, you trip over something in the floor that shouldn't be there. lot of different ways, and so there are things that have to be determined. There's information that has to be put together to determine whether you have a claim, and if you do, exactly what type claim you have, and the insurance company will need to be notified. You know, you even need to, anytime you're injured, you need to notify your own insurance company also. Even though you're probably not going to be going to them, they need to know. They need to be put on notice.
Okay, that's good to know. So imagine, if you will, that I'm not a top-quality radio talk show host, but rather I do something that involves a lot of standing or a lot of moving about. I don't know what that would be, but I do something else for a living. And now I've got this bad knee, and it's not just a question of the hospital costs or any of that stuff. Now we're talking about lost wages. I can't do my job because I can't stand up. I'm on one of those little cart, those little, you know, the ones where you have to kneel on it and you push yourself along, and that's what I'm using to get around from this point on. Or I'm in a wheelchair. I got a walker or something. I can't actually do whatever my job is. Can I get compensation for that too?
Yeah, you can. And, you know, speaking of those little carts, I broke my ankle in a couple of places 3 or 4 years ago, and I was on one of those little carts for about 10 or 12 weeks, and it's miserable. It's no fun. So,
well,
yes. Yes, you can get compensated for that.
I'm not in the business of giving advice, Chuck, but if you broke your ankle in a couple of places, I would suggest you don't go back to those places again, okay?
Well, clearly. You know, I walked outside to let the dog out and slipped in the wet grass.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You could sue the Scotts Turf Builder Company. That's what you should do.
I could sue myself for being so clumsy, I guess. It's hard to take your dog out to let them do their business and fall in wet grass.
I have a weird – this happened to me many years ago. I mean, like 3 cars ago. That's how far back it goes. But I was driving. It was in Homewood. And there's a 2-lane road there that leads toward Oxmoor. And there was a guy in the left lane, and I was going to pass him on the right side as we were pulling up on the intersection. And he suddenly just decides that he's going to pull into my lane. And in an effort to not get hit, I veered, and I ended up hitting a storm drain and then, you know, bouncing up onto the curb. And I did an immense amount of damage to the undercarriage of my car, and the bumper fell off, which got put back on. But it was a lot of money just to get the undercarriage of the car put back together. Now, when the Homewood police showed up to fill out an accident report, they told me this. Well, if he didn't actually hit you, as far as Homewood is concerned, that doesn't qualify as an accident. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I veered to avoid by this idiot who didn't even bother to check his mirror to make sure there wasn't anyone back here before he took, you know, before he decided to move into my lane.
Yeah.
If for some reason they hadn't listed it as an accident and insurance had not covered this, which they did, by the way, and everything worked out well, insurance more than covered it. But if that hadn't happened, could I have feasibly sued that guy? Is there some way I could have taken him to court?
Well, you probably could have. You know, that's a maybe, probably. But, you know, police coming and writing up a report and doing all that, that's something else that people, most people don't realize and don't understand. You know, a police report is not admissible in court. That's not evidence of an accident. The police show up after the fact. They show up after the accident has taken place. So, unless they were sitting on the corner in the police car when the accident happened, they don't know what happened. They simply come and they take the statements from the people who were involved in the accident, and they write it down on their piece of paper, and they turn it in and make a police report. Well, that's just hearsay. That's, you know, 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, 2 people in an accident, those stories are going to be entirely different. You don't stand there together and tell the police officer what happened. He interviews you separately to find out what happened and how the accident took place. And those stories are almost always going to be 2 different stories. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
that's fascinating. So what else would you use? I mean, obviously, and that's weird. I didn't know that. I had no idea. This is fascinating stuff. So a police report not even admissible in a court of law when it comes to this. But what would you use? I mean, do you have, like, eyewitness testimony if somebody was on the corner watching? Could you track that person down? What?
If you have eyewitnesses, that's great. If you're not severely injured, if there's someone else in the car with you, you need, if there's people around, if there's people that saw what happened, you need to get a name and a phone number, if that's at all possible. Car tags, anything you can get. And then once you go to an attorney, then that's the attorney's job to do what's called the discovery and find out what those people saw. Or maybe, you know, how much involvement, if any, and what they saw, and use all that information, because they have to have been there, they have to have witnessed what went on and the accident itself, to be able to give any testimony, to be able to go to court or to testify or to sign an affidavit or whatever they do. They have to be able to say, I was there and I saw it. Otherwise, they can't testify. So if there are people there who saw the accident and know what happened, if there's any possible way you can get their name and phone number, or people in the car with you do that, because you need that information. Once you get that, your lawyer will follow up on that.
This is good stuff. He's my lawyer, Chuck Davis, chuckdavislaw.com, 823-9992. No representations made that the legal services provided are superior to legal services provided by other attorneys. Hold on, if you would, please, Chuck. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about debt, because it's something I think a lot of people are finding themselves in right now as the coronavirus lockdown and just our change of behavior is causing an immense number of problems for people. We can address that in mere moments when we return. Stick around.
I found him by the railroad track this morning. I could see that he was nearly dead. I knelt down beside him and I listened, just to hear the words the dying fella said.
All right, well, this is really depressing. Let's have more upbeat. More upbeat songs about death and destruction, David. Make a note.
Well, Spud has some good ones, so.
I'm sure he does. 147 Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Chance Landscaping and so much more is a home maintenance company. They got a lot of stuff that they are able to do. Like, now would be a good time to actually get your lawn sort of trimmed up. You probably haven't had anybody looking at it or dealing with it since, I'm going to guess, late September, early October, right? So that's all of October, November, December. Here we are into January. It's only going to be about 6-8 weeks before you begin to see shoots of green coming up. So getting things kind of riding high and tight and getting where you need to be with this stuff is a good idea right now. Breaking out the blowers, and they'll get all the leaves off the property, which is cool. And then get yourself into shape and be prepared for the next step when spring comes, and they can be your lawn maintenance company. They should be, because they're really good. I have used them for quite some time now since I moved into the new house, and I love the work they do. I mean, they make my place look like a corporate business park every time they show up. I can't say enough good things about them. Chance Landscaping and so much more, a home maintenance company, cleaning your gutters, trimming your shrubs, minor repairs around the exterior and interior of your home, if you so desire. Count on these guys to do the job right. Chance Landscaping and so much more, a home maintenance company. Chuck Davis is hanging out with us. He is my attorney. He ought to be your attorney. And before we get into debt, and I don't mean into debt, we do have a caller. Robert is on a cell phone with a question about wills, which I find interesting. Roberto, you're on Talk 99.5 with Chuck Davis on the Birmingham Broker Hotline. What's up, man?
Yeah, I just got a good question for the lawyer there. My father passed away last year, and he had a will, and it states in the will what everybody receives. The man didn't owe anybody anything except the ambulance ride when he died, a few hospital bills here and there, the house paid for, all that good stuff. And I'm trying to figure out why we have to go through probate to divvy up and sell house and sell a car and a little bit of money in a checking account. For the life of me, I can't figure out why that is when everything states in the will, X people get X amount.
Well, Robert, good question. And a lot of things have to go through probate and through the court because you can't transfer title. If property needs to be sold, sometimes in a will, the will will state that the executor has the authority to sell property. And if that's the case, then that can be done. Sometimes it can't be done. And you have to get court permission to sell property. Automobiles, if they're titled in someone's name, in order for the Department of Revenue to transfer it to another person's name, they're going to have at the very least death certificate. Sometimes they may want the court documents that you get when you file an estate. And I don't want to get into all that, but there are things that go along with that. And of course, the main thing is to make sure and get through the fact that whoever it was passed away didn't have any debt and he owes nobody any money out there. So the court gives you 6 months to file your claims against the estate in the event there is something out there owing that maybe the executor or the relatives didn't know about.
Gotcha. So there's no way to avoid probate even with a will is what you're saying.
Well, in most situations, not. Now, if it's a small estate, and the amount is varies every year, Richard and Robert, and I'm not sure right now what it's around $30,000. If there's no property, real property like a house or something, and your full estate's under $30,000, you can do what's called a small estate, and that's a very quick, easy process to do, and it has to be filed in the court, but it's nothing like filing a full estate.
Yeah, I figured there's another zero on top of that 30 you just said. So,
well, there you go, Robert.
Then there you go.
Yeah. So I'm just, for the life of me, I'm thinking to myself, the only thing a will is actually good for is just so the state does not get your stuff and decide they want their stuff. Want what belongs to your family members. That's the only
thing. That's true. And a lot of people think that if you don't have a will, everything goes to this. To the state of Alabama, and that's not true, but the state of Alabama specifically tells you who it will go to and in what portion it will go to those people. So, you know, you may have a brother you hated all your life, and he's going to end up with part of your estate, so don't want that to happen.
Don't let it happen. Thank you, Robert, and good luck with it. Sorry for your loss, by the way. We should mention that his father passed away, and we didn't express the sort of condolences one would usually do under those circumstances. So, okay, real quick, we got like 2 minutes. Many people are amassing debt as a result, and I think a lot of credit card debt, because I know how this works. You're out of work, you go through your savings, and then you begin working on your credit limit, and eventually you get to a point where all your credit cards are maxed out. What happens when it comes time to pay these bills and you don't have the money? Is there a neat trick for, I'm not going to say getting out from under that, but, you know, somehow making that a manageable debt?
Yeah, there is, Richard. And, you know, debt, regardless of what type it is, most debts are negotiable. Creditors, whether it's a creditor, credit card, something like that, or whether it's a landlord and you owe back rent, most people understand something's better than nothing. And so most, if not all, debts are negotiable. It depends on the situation, but they are negotiable. So talk to a lawyer. Go sit down and talk to a lawyer and find out what options you might have as far as the debt, what part of it might could be reduced or done away with, and how you might can work out some type of payment arrangement or a lessened amount that you may have to pay on the debt.
Well, there you go. His name is Chuck Davis. He is my lawyer. Couldn't be happier with him. 823-9992. Thank you, Chuck. The time, once again, has rocketed by, and so we will have to do it again sometime in the not-too-distant future if you're of a mind to.
Good luck with your test this afternoon, Richard. Hope it's a big negative.
I'm studying hard. I'm hoping to pass. Thank you,
Good
Chuck.
Luck.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Richard.
Yes, there's bye. Chuck Davis. ChuckDavisLaw.com. ChuckDavisLaw.com. Pardon me. It's First News time. Stick around.